It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick. Real Talk Radio is a program by Live the Life Ministries based here in Jacksonville, Florida, where we as a ministry want to strengthen individuals, couples, marriages, and families with the abundant life. That's right, John 10:10, Jesus promised that we would not just have life, but life more abundant. And we believe that we can live the abundant life in this world, not just waiting for heaven, which is really the abundant life. And so our whole ministry and focus is on strengthening marriages and families and helping people live healthy, mature, connected, connected relationships so they can experience the abundant life. And that means a really loving relationship. You know, I've been married 34 years, 35 this coming February 2019 to my precious bride, Luella. And when we got married, I was not a healthy, mature person. I was a very immature person. Actually, I was what's known as an emotional child. And thus, I can only deal with conflict in a childish way. And I've done a lot of growing in healing and work on myself over the past 34 years of marriage so that I can live the life that God wanted me to live. But more importantly, I could have the marriage that I've always really wanted in my life. I've learned that people do not get married to be miserable and to get divorced. Yet many, many, many do. And Live the Life Ministries is focused and committed to making sure marriages are strong and healthy. And if those here locally in Jacksonville, if you saw in the local newspaper here, and you're aware that through our efforts and leadership in the county, particularly in Duval, we've seen a 28% drop in divorce in the last 2 years here in Duval County. So we do know that we can make a difference that makes a difference. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? Oh, by the way, let me say this. If you have a question or a comment, go ahead and contact us through email, realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. Or you can find us and go like us on our Facebook page, Real Talk with Dr. Rick. That's Facebook page, Real Talk with Dr. Rick. You can find us there as well and drop us a note. Give us a thought. What does the show mean to you? As well as if you have a question or something you would like me to do show on, feel free to leave me a note there. All right. So today we're going to talk about the killers of love in a relationship. We are in the holiday season. This is a season of love. This is when God the Father, through his love for mankind, sent his son to be born of a virgin. Jesus is the evidence of Father's love for us. He is the evidence of Father's love for us. And the fact that Jesus went and died on the cross and says, "Not my will, but thine be done," is the evidence of the love the Son had for the Father. And yet so many people are in broken marriages, broken relationships, and they go into the holiday season and they become hopeful. They actually become hopeful. They begin to think, well, maybe my marriage can make it. Maybe we can get better during this time. And anybody knows the legal community and or the marriage family therapy community, we refer to the first week of January as divorce week. And why would you call it divorce week? Because so many people get hopeful about their marriage. They get hopeful about their family and their relationships. And they go through the holidays. They want to be good for the kids. They want to be disruptive. There's a hope that things will get better. And then when things don't get better at the end of the holidays, people tend to file highly the first week of January. So January is kind of like divorce month. And what we want to do is make sure people make it through the holidays and into January with a loving, strong, healthy relationship. So what are some things that actually kill love in a relationship? That's our topic today. Yes, I know it sounds like it's a negative. I've always said you can talk about what you don't do, talk about what you do, right? And I'm in agreement with that. Don't tell me what not to do. Tell me what to do. However, and today, I'm going to talk about the things you don't do, the things that do kill a relationship. And I believe that you, my listeners, are smart enough to figure out if you don't want to do this, do the opposite. In other words, if you have a tendency to be impatient, don't say don't be impatient. Just go be patient. If you have a tendency to be unkind, don't say I'm unkind. Start being kind. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. So if you don't want to stop doing this behavior, do more of the opposite behavior. So then, let's talk about killers of love in a relationship. Number one is when overall there is a lack of general intimacy in the relationship. And we're not talking sexual intimacy here. We're really talking about emotional connection. The intimacy that you can feel, a sense of friendship, a sense of longing, a sense of desire for each other. And so when there is a lack of emotional connection in the relationship over time, and it's not here this month or that month or for an hour or so. It's like over time. When you sense that we're not connected and you feel that, that's emotional brain, part of the emotional brain. When you feel a lack of general connection, intimacy, then people's brains will interpret that as I don't love you or you don't love me. We've lost the feelings of love. As that old song says, you've lost those, the love and feeling. When there's a lack of general intimacy over time, people then interpret that is there something wrong in the relationship. And it would be an indication of something wrong in the relationship. Problem is they tend to throw it away. I argue no. Start focusing on the things that bring back the intimacy, that bring back that connection. And you have to be intentional about those things. You have to desire that in your relationship. Intimacy in a relationship does not happen on its own. It is intentional. You are intentional about building that connection when you were dating in that friendship. You got to be intentional about it later on in life throughout marriage as well. So one of the general, one of the first killers of love and relationship is a lack of general intimacy, that lack of emotional connection. Do the things that make your partner feel valued. Do the things that make your partner feel loved. Do the things that make them feel special. Number two is to the degree that you have a lot of bottled up feelings of anger, hurt, and pain in your relationship. We like to refer to that as an emotional trash can in our world. When feelings of love, feelings of respect, feelings of goodwill towards a person, and then you will treat them in unloving, uncaring, unfriendly ways, even if that means just simply disconnecting and shutting down what was known as stonewalling with them. So bottled up feelings that are negative will kill a relationship over time, which is why we know healthy relationships, people learn to speak up. People say what they want. They just speak up in a loving way. And one of the things that we say in our world is that love has a tone to it. You always know if someone's speaking their truth in love because the tone will tell you. You see, some people think, well, I spoke the truth. It doesn't really matter whether you spoke the truth. The passage in the scripture there is not focused on whether you speak the truth. It's actually focused on how you speak the truth. Some people defend that they speak the truth, even though it's an unloving way, and they justify their them being right. It isn't about being right. It's about how you express your rightness. I always say this way. You are right at the expense of all the relationships around you. You got it? You like being right at the expense of people relating to you. Speak the truth in love. And so when you have bottled up feelings of anger, hurt, and pain, you've got to speak up. You've got to share how things are for you. You must express your fears. You must talk about your hurts. And you must talk about the anger and what's that all about. Just do it in a loving way. One of the things we do at Live the Life Ministries through our Adventures in Marriage class, which we offer on a regular basis, and you can check that out at our website, livethelife.org, we actually teach people emotional regulation skills and the skills to express what's in the feeling brain, the emotional brain, known as the limbic system. We actually teach you how to express those things so that you can, in a sense, dump anger, hurt, and fear, and pain in a loving, caring way that builds the relationship rather than destroys it and kills it. Number three killer of love in a relationship is when you take each other for granted. It's when you take each other for granted. Now, this is going to sound weird, but it's actually true. I share this publicly in my marriage seminar, so I'm going to share it with you. About in my 19th year of marriage, I got out of the shower, I went over to my bottom drawer of my dresser, and I opened up the bottom drawer. And I know it sounds weird, but I call it like this epiphany, like this realization awareness. I actually felt it in my body. And when I felt this awareness, I actually said out loud, I said, they're always in there. I said it out loud. Luella was in the closet. And she stuck her head out. She said, what? I said, I said, 19 years of marriage, whenever I open the drawer right here, every time I open this drawer, my T-shirts and underwear are always in here. I never think about them. I never consider them. They're always here. And she's looking at me like I was kind of weird, right? And I said, no, no, no. Listen, hear me out. I just realized something. The fact that I open this drawer and they're always there, I never think about them, is the evidence of your presence in my life. If you were not in my life, they would not be there unless I made that happen. I take this for granted. And what I've learned to do is not take those things for granted. She does things around me and for me every day that I don't even think about. And from that event, at 19 years of marriage, I become aware of all the things she does that if she was gone today, if the Lord was to take her home today, they wouldn't be done. And I would be keenly aware of what she does every day. Don't take each other for granted. Don't take each other. When you do that, you're basically suggesting that they owe you, that somehow this is what they're supposed to do. No longer is love a gift of giving. It's an expectation of what you're supposed to do for me. And you know what? That isn't treating a person with love. That isn't seeing them as a gift. That's seeing them as an object of something that you use to get what you want. Don't take each other for granted. Honor each other. Appreciate each other. Be grateful for each other on a regular basis, which leads into my next number four killer of love is when you are overly selfish. Now, folks, I use the word overly because let's be honest, all humans at our fundamental level are selfish. We tend to think about ourselves and want to get what we want out of relationships. But the reality is, when you are overly selfish, when it is mostly about you, when all you think about is what you want and how things can be for you, and if things aren't going your way, then you cop an attitude. You get upset, and it's all about you. As the old song says, "I did it my way." Well, if you want to do it your way, feel free. But it begs the question, why are you married? Marriage is not about you. Marriage is about us. I tell people, if marriage is giving up the I for the we, and that thinking goes against Western philosophy, because Western philosophy is all about me, not we. But that is why divorce is so rampant, because one and or both are living for themselves. And I go, if you're going to live for yourself, feel free. But don't get married. You're just going to end up hurting people along the way, because in reality is marriage is a we. It's about us. We call it in our word. It's about us. Us wins, you both win. But it takes two to make an us and one to kill it. And when you're overly selfish, you're sending your partner a message, I don't care about you. It's all about me, and you're here to serve me. Do what I want. And I go, you know what? If they walk out of your life, you really shouldn't complain, because here's what I've learned. When you are that selfish and you live for yourself and not for us, you're going to tell people, even by your actions, you tell your partner you don't want them in your life. Eventually, they'll figure it out and they'll leave. And when they do leave, at least don't complain, because you're getting exactly what you want, because you convinced them over the years, I don't care about us, I care about me. Or as I like to say to some men who are in this situation, you are actually reaping what you've been sowing all along. Your wife is not divorcing you. She's actually releasing you to your selfishness. Being overly selfish is a killer of a relationship. Next, number five. Chaotic relationships are just that, chaotic. In all of life, we have to have change. We've got to have flexibility. We've got to be able to adapt, because life is about change, but life is also about routine. Life is also about structure. You see, there are some relationships that are so chaotic, they have very little structure. Constantly changing, moving. I'm going to do it this day, but I'm not going to do it that way tomorrow. I'm going to do it a third way this day. And it drives people crazy, because there's no structure. Structure gives relationships a sense of what is. Where are the boundaries? What's secure here? Okay? So really chaotic relationships have very little structure. However, the other extreme, though, is a relationship where there's too much structure and inability and no ability to change. This would be like a father still spanking a 16-year-old. You don't spank 16-year-olds. But if you're still spanking 16-year-old, you don't know how to change. As a matter of fact, the more rigid and structured a relational system, that's true in any business and it's true in churches, the higher the rate of abuse goes up, and you can control people because they've learned they're not allowed to question. Because in highly rigid structures, there's a strong authoritarian leadership style and no one questions it. Thus, they live out of fear. All relationships need structure, but they need to be changing as well. There's flexibility. So a good, healthy relationship is not in it, it takes inconsistency and it moves it down that there is some consistency in this relationship as well. And we need to change. But too much inconsistency is chaotic, and that chaos creates chaos in people's hearts around you. All right, number six killer of a relationship is to the degree that you're condescending, belittling, tearing your partner down, not lifting them up and building them up. When you are condescending and belittling of your partner long term, you have killed the relationship. And I want to argue, you didn't just kill the relationship, you're going to kill their spirit. The power of life and death are in our words. And I find it interesting how many people denigrate, tear down their spouses, and they wonder why their spouses don't want to open up and love them. It's because why would they? They actually know how you think about them, because look at the way you talk about them on a regular basis. We believe in our world, and particularly mine, as I grew up and matured in my life, there are four words I learned to live by in order to become a healthy, mature adult and have a healthy, mature relationships around me. And those four words are goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. That's right, goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. When you're condescending and belittling, you are disrespectful. And if you want to be disrespectful, that's your choice. But don't expect people to stay around you, because you're telling them by your very actions, I don't respect you. Thus, you treat them with ill will, not goodwill. And you will kill a relationship. Remember, the power of life and death are in our words. The words you use are also an indication of what's really in your heart towards that person. And I get people say things when they're angry or hurt. I get that. In the end, though, if you keep up those words, this isn't just a one-time moment of emotional impulsiveness. This is actually a perception that you have in your heart. So whenever you're condescending and belittling, you're not respectful. You don't build up. Whenever you're that way, you'll kill a relationship pretty quickly. All right, next killer is when you violate trust. Now, violating trust is central to a relationship. It is central to a relationship. But let's talk about trust, because trust here, one of the early shows I did in Real Talk was all on the eight pillars of trust. There are eight core pillars of trust. So we're going to talk about trust in the general sense here, but you can go back and catch that show on the eight core pillars of trust, because a violation of any one of those eight pillars of trust, you're going to break trust down in a relationship. All right. David Horsager's book on trust is powerful teaching around this. Trust here is when we violate trust. Now, we think of violating trust in a relationship, particularly in marriage, is like a betrayal such as adultery, emotional affairs, those kind of things. And that is a violation of trust. And it's a gross violation of trust. But trust could also be broken when you don't hold my confidences. Trust can also be broken when you spend money without me knowing about it and you put us in a position of being financially in bankrupt. Trust can be broken when you say you're going to stop doing alcohol, drugs, or porn, and you don't stop those things. Trust can be broken when you get the idea. You get the idea. There's a lot of ways that trust can be broken, you see. And so you've got to protect trust, and you do that because you're a person of character, you know, character. People of character protect the trust in their relationships because they understand that trust is a value to any core relationship, right? And it's one of the three fundamental paradigms for any relationship. And I'm talking about any relationship, is you got to have trust, right? And think about trust in a minute in this format. Think about this phrase, I trust you, and if I could replace the word trust with another word that would have the same meaning, what would that be? It would be the word know. I trust you, I know you. In other words, we trust people based on the way that we know them to be. If I know you to be late, I trust you to be late. If I know you to be on time.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.